Whatever I said this morning, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I've offended a large portion of the congregation, and I say it with a smile because I don't think that's the case. I know that there's a big-time storm, and I don't blame some folks. It was coming down pretty good, hurricane style, out there earlier, and that can be rather scary. But I'm glad that the 10 of you, no, it's not that bad, but I'm glad that you're here tonight, and we're going to go on, and just as our good brother Kenshin mentioned, and continue to worship our God the same way that we would small or big may be our group. Tonight I want to talk about something that might be a little different. I don't think I've heard I know I have, but maybe one lesson that I've ever heard on this subject, but I think it's important. I want to talk about placing membership. And the reason I want to preach this tonight is because we have been having several to place membership recently. And so this is a good thing. This is a positive thing. And I'm encouraged by that. And I want to talk about why this is a good thing and ultimately answer some questions that might come up about it. Is it biblical to place membership? Do you see the phrase place membership in the Bible? Are we really following God's pattern when we do that? And so I thought it would be interesting to discuss that this evening. I want to preface it, though, by saying this. Again, what I am focusing on is the positive. What I'm not doing with this lesson is trying to rebuke maybe those who are not. You know, I don't know everybody's membership status. I know several who are members because they're involved with the work here, and the men who are involved in particular with service, and I know they're members here. But if you feel like I'm preaching to you because you're not or haven't placed membership here, I'm not. I'm not looking to you as an individual. I'm preaching about a subject because of what's been going on. However, I will say that, of course, at the same time, secondarily, in talking about the importance of placing membership, if you're not a member here and you live here and have been here a while, and it's something to consider because it is very important, and I think best by far to be a member of a local congregation when it's possible. I understand that there are some situations that arise. You may be moving into a new area. Maybe it's a military situation. Maybe you're moving for a new job and you're maybe in limbo, as it were. You're trying to find a congregation, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, and God knows in your heart why it is that you wouldn't be placing membership, right? If it's because you don't want to be involved, you don't want responsibility, or you don't want to submit to elders, there's a difference between finding a congregation and having a reason like that wouldn't follow the biblical pattern. So I just want to preface this by saying that. This is an encouraging thing about the good that's coming from placing membership and how this is biblical and how it's such a wonderful and encouraging concept. The Bible does not ever come out and just say or reference placing membership, but I believe it does address it in its own way. Now, in order to talk about this, we have two things to discuss, and then we'll talk about why it's so important. All right, very hopefully short and simple lesson that I hope will be beneficial to you. Number one, we need to understand the two concepts, two contexts, if you will, of the church and what the Bible is talking about when it mentions the church. Now, there is the universal church and there is the local church. When we're talking about placing membership, we're talking about the local church. But I've got to understand the difference. I want to give you some examples of each of these to really separate the two and to understand the difference and how we're talking about what we're talking about and what we're not. Matthew 16:18. Let's look at some familiar verses, some texts you're familiar with, but look at them in a way maybe you haven't before by asking this question. Are these references to the church universal, or the church local? Maybe you've not thought about that before, and the fact that the church can be addressed in two different ways because they're very different. And we're going to notice that. I say very, not very different, but there are distinct differences that would not be the same. Matthew 16:18, first of all, Jesus says to Peter, you know this verse, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades there, death that is, shall not prevail against it. All right, what is he talking about there? Is this the universal church or is this the local church? Right? Is Jesus saying here, I'm literally looking at a rock and I'm going to build my church on this rock and we're going to all assemble here? Right? If that was the case, if this was the local church, then we'd all need to be sure we were attending and assembling at this church that he created in that local place, in that location. And that would be the only option. But this isn't the local church. This is the universal church. I'm going to create a church that all of you can be a part of, right? This is not a local body that we're talking about with an address with a location to assemble. This is the church universal, right? Everyone is part of this church. We're all family, but we don't necessarily all attend at the same location. What about Ephesians 5:25? Here's another reference to the church. Ephesians 5:25. I hope you'll be flipping there with me to each of these verses. Again, I know you're familiar with these texts, but we're looking for examples here to identify the difference, the distinction between the universal and local church and the differences. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Which local church did Jesus die for? Which one did he give himself for? Did he give himself for Oceanside Church of Christ? Did he give himself for the Dean Road Church that belongs to Jesus Christ? Did he give himself to West Kinnett or any of the others, Arlington or what? No, he's talking about the universal church. Christ died so that everyone could be part of that body. Right? He didn't die just for the saved, this idea of limited atonement. He died for all, for us, as Peter put, or John rather, and for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. The universal church. Everyone can be a part of that congregation, if you will, the universal church through the blood of Jesus. We understand that. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul tells Timothy that thou knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Right, Paul tells Timothy, I want you to understand how to behave in the church. He's not talking about just a particular local congregation there, but wherever you're at, wherever you're worshiping, you need to know how to behave in the universal church. Right? You could apply this one a little bit to the local congregations, but wherever you are, he's not dealing with a particular location here, but wherever you're in church, wherever you're part of that universal church, I want you to know how to behave in it. Acts 2 and verse 47, one more example. Acts 2:47, all of those 3,000 that were added at the day of Pentecost there in Acts 2, the Bible says that they repented, they were baptized for the remission of sins, and they were added. Added to what? 3,000 souls were added to something. Well, what was it? Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved or were being saved. Question, which local body was Christ adding them to? Were they being added to the church at Jerusalem? These people were from all over the place. They were going to go back to their respective locations. He wasn't adding them to the church at Jerusalem. He was adding them to the universal church, to his body. Okay? Key things to remember about the universal church. There's no address. There's no address to the universal church. There's no assembly, right? There's no meeting time for the universal church. It doesn't work that way. There's no government on earth. There's no government here that leads the universal church. Could you imagine if there were? We were talking about that in the men's class a bit earlier, what that would be like and how easily that could be corrupted. God knew what he was doing, right? There's no government for the universal church. There's no meeting time. There's no address. However, there is no elders for that reason for the universal church. However, the distinction there is different because the local church does have an address. It does have an assembly time. It does have a governing body, as it were, with elders there, shepherding, however, two or more men that are qualified to do so. All right, some examples of this, and then I'll make this practical and you'll see where we're going with this. Look at Acts 11, for example. Acts 11. And as you're turning there, let me go ahead and make this point. Why is it that I'm distinguishing between the two? It is one thing to be a member of the universal church, to be a Christian. That's wonderful. But if you think for a moment that you can just for the rest of your life here on earth just be a universal member of the church and not ever be involved with the work of a local church, just to be aloof from that, to avoid it altogether, I would find that hard to say that a person with that attitude is truly a faithful child of God. A faithful child of God is going to want to, when possible, to find a faithful, sound congregation, right, to get settled down somewhere and to be involved in that work. That's so critical, right? That's what we're getting at. Acts 11, verse number 26 there. And when he had found him, and I'm going to prove what I just said now. I know that's a big statement, but we're proving that in this study. Verse 26, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This is the church universal or the church local. This is the church local. They were meeting together, the local church was, in Antioch. They were called Christians there first in Antioch. And so here's an example of the church reference. He doesn't put the word universal in front of it. He doesn't put the word local in front of it. But based upon the context, we can tell what he's discussing. They were being part of the local church at Antioch, and they were first called Christians there. Another example of the local church, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, if you want to turn there. You're familiar with this passage, and this is an order that's very critical. When there's aught with a brother, when you've got sin against someone, there's something going on, some strife there, God has an order on how to take care of that. You're to go to that person, he or she, and between the two of you alone, you are to discuss that. If that person will not hear you, you've confronted them about their sin, his or her sin, I should say, and he or she will not repent, then you're going to bring some witnesses, right? Step two, there's some witnesses, two or three, right? Just as they did under the Mosaical Law. You're going to bring those guys in or ladies in or whoever it is, and you're going to discuss it. Doesn't have to be elders, could be elders, doesn't have to be. Whoever you want to be your witnesses, someone that you trust. If that doesn't work, then look at step three, verse 17. If he shall neglect to hear them, that is the witnesses, and you again, tell it unto the church. Not the elders still, but the church. The elders would be included in that. But I say that because so many think that we just take it straight to the elders. But biblically, you don't have to do that. That's not necessary until step three, unless you so choose. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Question, is this the universal church or is it the local church? Has to be the local church. Why? Because how are you going to inform the universal church that you've got some aught with your brother that he or a sister that she will not repent of? You can't do that. You just can't alert. We don't have a system for that. You can't alert the universal church. He's talking about the local body. Wherever you're worshiping, wherever you're part or a member of, you have a responsibility for that congregation to know. That's the process. And so he's talking about the local church. Right? There's a distinction. There are things that can only happen in the local church. It cannot happen with the universal church. Unless you're a part of that local body, how could you be a part of it? 1 Corinthians 14, another example. 1 Corinthians 14 this time, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Even with just a few of us, I still hear those pages being turned. I sure do. I always say that, I know, but it means a lot. Any preacher's encouraged knowing that some folks are following along, and whether they agree or not, they're at least proving it, checking it out. So that's great. So encouraged. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Again, local or universal church here. Well, this is the local church, not the universal. If you're gathering together, if you're assembling, and you've got this issue where somebody's speaking in tongues, and he's addressing here the idea of how you need that interpreter back at this time, because otherwise you wouldn't understand what he was saying. It would not benefit the congregation. You would not be edified. Prophecy was preferred, but he's referencing the assembling. If the whole local body is meeting together, here are the instructions. Here's how this is to go. Hebrews 10:25, you know that passage. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Where are you going to do that? The universal church doesn't have an assembly. He's talking about the local assembly, the local church. One last example, to a few examples of the biblical pattern here and why I believe it's so important to be part of a local body. Acts 14, verse 23, this time. Acts 14, verse 23. When they had ordained them elders in every church. This one's pretty simple because of that word every, isn't it? Every church had elders ordained and had prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Right? Here's another example of the local body, the local church. They're ordaining elders in that local church. The elders aspect of this is very, very critical. Hebrews 13, 17, submit to them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, and they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you. In every local congregation that has qualified men, And if they don't, they should hopefully be striving to have qualified men that are elders and leading that congregation. Those elders should be there, and they should be watching for the members of that local congregation. All right, hold that thought. Let's look at a few verses here as to why this is so important. And we're going to conclude talking about elders. But I want to start in Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. I know we're going to a lot of verses. I'm going to slow down right here. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. The Bible does not say or use the words placing membership. But I believe there are some necessary inferences here. There are patterns here that would, even logic and reason, that come into play here, that make it clear to us that there was this principle of placing membership, identifying with a congregation and with her elders. Acts 9 and verse 23. I'm going to do like I always do and give you, this is a debatable argument. There are some that would say that this is not really about placing membership. I'll leave that to you. But we're going to lead into an even stronger argument in a moment. But I want you to consider every angle. Acts 9 and verse 23. After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, notice this phrase, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Good old Barnabas. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas, that encourager, that he brings Paul in and shows them and reminds them of what Paul had experienced, and that he was a changed man because of our Lord. Now, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Some just simply would say that just means that he wanted to kind of get along with them. He wanted to be in fellowship with them, and they were scared of him, and that's logical. I get that. But let me give you a reason or two why I believe it goes further than that. Number one here, Paul was wanting to, and he always wanted to be involved with the work of the local churches. Think about it. We talked about Ephesians this morning. He was in Ephesus for over 3 years. And gotta get it. Paul was moving place to place. Do you think that for 3 years, Paul did not let those elders know? And so you can call it placing membership, call it joining, call it being part of or involved with, whatever you want to call it. But do you really think that for over 3 years in Ephesus, Paul did not make it clear to those elders that he wanted to be involved with that work? That he wanted to be included? The Bible says in Acts 20, 34 and 35 that Paul ministered to the church at Ephesus, that he labored with the church at Ephesus, that he worked with the weak, that he was involved in the teaching and preaching of that congregation. He wasn't just a visitor for 3 years. He joined himself to that congregation. I believe that's what's going on here. The second reason, not only because he wanted to be involved with the work, but because of this Greek word. The Greek word here for joined is the Greek word for glue. I thought that was interesting as I was looking a little deeper at this. It's the Greek word for glue. Literally, Paul wanted to glue himself, if you will, to the brethren here. He wanted to be stuck to them, to cleave to them would be another accurate translation. Right? He wanted to be a part of this. He wanted to be more than just getting along with them. He wanted to be in fellowship with them and to be involved with that work. I really think what Paul was doing here was, if you will, identifying himself to the brethren here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 23, to the brethren at Damascus here. Now look at verse Romans chapter 16. Say, preacher, I just don't know if I'm convinced. Let me give you maybe an even stronger example. Romans 16. Verse 1. Paul writes, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, notice this, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Phoebe is a servant of the church at Cenchrea. If she was simply a servant of the universal church, as it were, just part of that, just a floater, just somebody in limbo, he wouldn't have been so specific. She was a servant at this location. In other words, she was involved in the work of this congregation at Cenchrea. Think about it this way. How many of you, if by show of hands, have ever visited the Dean Road congregation, Dean Road Church of Christ? Great congregation, by the way. Most of you have. Most of you have been there. Just because you visited there, would it be accurate to say that Billy Joe Bob was, he is a servant of the church at Dean Road, if he visited there one time? Does that make you a servant of that congregation? Well, no. Being a servant of somewhere is somewhere where you're involved. It's somewhere where you're part of the work. It would be accurate to say if, let me use somebody that we have, maybe if Glenn doesn't mind, it would be accurate to say Glenn is a servant of the Oceanside Church of Christ. Glenn may have visited Dean Road, but Glenn's not a servant of the Dean Road congregation. He's not working under the oversight of their elders. He's working under the oversight here. Phoebe, therefore, is a servant of the church at Synchrea. She is a member there. She has identified herself with that eldership, with that congregation, however you would want to word it. Let me conclude with what I believe to be the strongest argument and most critical reason to be involved, and that is our elders. Look at Hebrews. Actually, I want you to go to 1 Peter. Hebrews 13, 17 we mentioned. Let me turn into 1 Peter though. Hebrews 13, 17 again, talking about submitting to them that have the rule over you. And they're going to give an account for those of which they're responsible. Now think about this for a minute. If the elders were responsible for every person that ever walked in their doors, if you were a visitor one time, two times, 10 times, however many times, think about an elder having to be responsible for every person that visited this congregation. They go crazy. There's no way that they could possibly keep up with that many people that are all over the place. What does he mean in Hebrews 13? They're watching for those who are part of, who have identified themselves with their local congregation. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, which am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice verse 2. Here's the key. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Underline it, highlight it. If you're a note taker, write it down. Remember that phrase. Who are you feeding, elders? Who are you responsible for the ones that are among you? Notice, taking the oversight thereof, of those individuals, not by constraint, but by willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Right? A stray sheep shows up in the flock of a shepherd. He's there one day, and the next day he's gone. Is that his sheep? Is he responsible for that sheep? Well, no. Right? This is a flock, and the elders are responsible for their flock. And so those which are among us, all right, think about that. Logic and reason here. Those who are among you are going to be those that are involved, those who are part of, who have identified with that congregation. There has to be some kind of way for the elders to know, and they didn't tell me to do this lesson. This is completely coming from me, by the way. But there has to be a way for the elders to know that an individual is going to be involved with that work. Right? You don't have to say, I'm placing membership. It doesn't have to be worded that way, but they have to know. Think about it. On the contrary, let's say you didn't do that. At what point would a person become a member at this congregation if there was nothing ever said? Would it be 10 visits? Would it be 20 visits? Would it be 50 visits? How would you put a number on that? Let's say someone from Dean Road or Arlington or wherever has some family here, and they come and visit a couple times a month or once a month. Right? Do you just hit a point eventually where you just say, you know what, they're a member here as well. They're a member at both places, right? You just can't do that. There has to be a point in which you say, I'm going to be involved with this congregation. I'm ready for you to be responsible for me as well. I need that accountability. All right? I'm going to be involved at the Oceanside Church of Christ. Again, if the elders had to take care of everybody, they would absolutely go crazy. It would be so difficult. And if you're not a member of a local body, who's going to give an account for you? What eldership is going to stand before God and say and talk on your behalf and say, let me tell you about Billy Joe Bob. Let me tell you about Sally Sue here and what's going on. There's nobody to do that because you didn't join yourself to the local congregation. All right? Again, I know this is maybe a different type of lesson. But I'm so encouraged, I'm preaching this because I'm so encouraged that we have folks who are willing to be involved with the work, who are telling these elders, we've had several families to do so, many of them are here tonight, who are telling our elders, we want to be involved with this work, and that is a wonderful thing. Nobody's questioned it. No, I'm not suggesting that they have. It's just been on my mind. You know, is that a biblical principle? Is that something that we ought to do when the Bible doesn't really say placing membership? It seems to me that there are clear, necessary inferences that would say that it's necessary, that it's important. Again, I'm not rebuking those who are moving, who are in limbo, trying to find a congregation. But you know, you know why you're not placing membership, and God knows why. But when you can, when it's possible, it is so important to identify, to be involved with that work. Not just to be a member of the Universal Church, although that's important, but to be a member of that local body and to participate in fellowship with them and to work with them and to be able to have elders to look out for you, to take responsibility for you, to feed you that spiritual nourishment and to stand before God one day. Could you imagine that responsibility? I know these guys do. They've talked about it before and how what a huge responsibility that's going to be, and they take that very seriously. They're going to stand before God, and for every member here at Oceanside, they're going to discuss that person in some way. In some way, they're going to give an account on our behalf. What an incredible responsibility. But we've got to let them know that we want to be involved with them, that we're willing to work under their oversight and be a part of this work here at Oceanside. And so many of you have, and I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I simply want to encourage any others that may be in limbo right now, that you know, we want you to be here. I'm not preaching this to make you place membership here, but I'm preaching this because it's important, and I just want you to take that into consideration. I love you. It's an important subject, and it's a small group, and I can't, you know, as a preacher, I stand up here and I try to read everybody to see if you're on the same page, and I can't really tell, but I hope that this in some way has been beneficial to you. And the way that I would end this is simply this: if you're not a member of a local body, you can't do that unless you're a member of the universal. That's where it begins. I've got to become a member of the Universal Church, and wherever you're baptized. You know, let's say you're baptized here at Oceanside, then in essence, that in fact would place you into the role, so to speak. There's just not a better way to put it, I guess. But you become a member in that way, too, to place a membership at a local congregation, being baptized there. You may move and go somewhere else and place membership there, but you need to be sure that you're a child of God. That's what's important. Being baptized into the body of Christ, the Universal Church, and you can do that tonight if you haven't already. Believing in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing His name before men, and being buried in that watery grave, and establishing the fact that you want to be a child of God to be part of His universal church. We would love to assist you in that tonight. Maybe you've done that, and you've let sin back into your life. Maybe you've not been faithful to the body here at Oceanside. Maybe you've neglected the local body here in being part of this work. Maybe it's some other sin. It's something that you're doing that you shouldn't do. Whatever it is, you and I both know it's not worth it. It's not worth losing your soul over. There's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell, and they are real. And one day we're going to stand before God, and if the elders have to stand before God and say, I would love to say some good things about this, and maybe there's a few good things, but there's just one thing, is he or she was just never involved. Or I'm sad, I'm in grief to tell you that he or she just hardly ever was here to be part of this. Or there was some sin going on that they never repented of, and don't put that on them. And don't lose your soul over that one sin. Don't let Satan win. You can make that right tonight, confessing that sin and repenting of it. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, let us here at the local body at Oceanside pray with you and for you and encourage you any way that we can. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.